You know, there are few things in life that are more beautiful to see than a field of lavender. And our next guests have brought that fragrant crop to Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Our guests today, Edgar and Martine Anderson, they are president and vice president and owners of Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm Shop and Le Petit Bistro. Where are they located? On Washington Island in Wisconsin's Door County. In 7 short years, they've gone from a small rented retail shop and 9,000 plants to a very larger retail space, a bistro, and now they have 20,000 plants. So we'll talk with them about growing lavender in Wisconsin, what you can use that herb for, and maybe how you can grow it in your garden. Certainly, if you have some questions about lavender, I hope you'll join in. How do you use lavender? What's your favorite use? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Certainly love to hear from you. And Edgar and Martine. Edgar, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you. Very honored to be here.
Well, and Martine, thank you for joining us as well.
Well, you're welcome, and I cannot wait to get all those questions.
Good for you. Well, I'm sure you get a lot of questions, but one I bet you get is, why did you think lavender would succeed on Washington Island?
Well,
go ahead, Martine.
Well, by accident, really. My husband and I had retired, and I planted lavender around my house on Washington Island. I'm from the south of France, and it's a plant that I always loved. And then it bloomed. It's absolutely tripled in a very short period of time. And when we learned that the island needed a little bit of help with creating job, we jumped on the possibility. And then that's history. Basically, my husband took it from there, and I took care of the rest. But he took care of all the growing and all of that. So that's where the idea came from.
Oh, man, that is a wonderful story. You know, I have to tell you, the lavender farm I have visited so far was in Hawaii several years back.
Oh, yeah.
On Maui, we visited Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. Many of them came with me, and we visited Maui and saw the lavender farm there, and it was beautiful. And I wondered at the time if an operation like that could exist in Wisconsin. Well, I guess you proved me. You've answered that question for me for sure.
We are trying, Larry, and we have been able to do it. This part of the country has a lot of problems with weather. Obviously, weather is not our advantage, but certainly the soil is up here. So those are two main factors when you're growing lavender. So the weather being one, and then the soil is a big part of it, too.
And the climate, it must be a good climate for it. It would certainly be different than Maui's climate.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking quite a few degrees of difference. But, the farm in Maui, if you remember, I was in Maui actually before they opened that farm. But as far as I know, it's up in the hill or the volcano. And that is it's up in elevation a little bit, and
yes,
that is a requirement because lavender does not really do well in hotter or very cold climate for that matter. So you know, what we have here, though, is what's the USDA's climatic zone 5, the definitions, yeah. We're in zone 5B, which is a very narrow band of climate 5B that goes along the Michigan Lake. And then it goes, the south central part of Wisconsin towards the southeast area, those will be 5 and 5B. That is probably the lowest that you would be successful at planting lavender. If you start going up in the northwest part of the state, then it'll become a little more difficult. And then you can still do it, but you have to take an even more radical approach and you know, like winter protection and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, Mary in Menominee's online with a comment or a question there. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I was just commenting about I have four dogs, and I sprinkled the lavender buds in their bedding, and I wrap it in, during the summer, I wrap it in like a bandana around their neck, and it helps keep them calm, and it helps with the insects.
Oh!
That's one of the beautiful things with lavender, is that it does repel certain type of, like, if you basically get a tea or if you spray some lavender on your skin, it will kind of deter mosquito and things like that. So it's probably doing that with your dog, not only keeping them a little bit calmer, but basically acting as a repellent for sure.
Oh, that's great. Mary, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Edgar.
Yes, so lavender, one of the lavender is well known for being a relaxing plant. It's used for relaxation in aromatherapy. So your dog is enjoying one of the benefits of lavender for sure.
Oh, man. Well, you can join in, too, as you listen in here. A question, comment, or an experience to share. The number is 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you visited their lavender farm in Washington Island in Door County. I'd love to hear how what your experience was like as well. So give us a call about that, too. And people can visit your farm for sure.
Absolutely.
Of course. We reopen usually May 1st. Until the end of October, with a peak season between June 15 and when we start harvesting, of course, in August. So you still can see quite a lot of lavender until the first week of September in bloom.
And it is beautiful. I mean, looking at the photos on your website, wow, what a beautiful sight.
Thank you. It is spectacular, and especially now that we added 6,000 plants that are now coming in line this year, and the blooms will be even more spectacular than what you're seeing there.
You know, you talked about, Martine, you talked about the fact that there was probably a little bit of an issue with on Washington Island with job need for jobs and so forth. Has this come true for?
Oh yes, absolutely. Actually, I think the island is getting a tourist boom right now, which was very welcomed by a lot of business on the island. But other than that, it has for us, if we can speak about Fregan Isle only, we now have around 20 people working for us during the season. So that's very from people which are local to people which are coming as far as Arizona. We have two women coming from outside Wisconsin to come and work for us this season. As well as college kids, we usually have an average of around 6 college kids coming for probably 6 to 8 weeks. And then we create job a little bit more stable, if you wish, for 6 months. So the farm has definitely helped out with that type of job. And I think creating more opportunity for other business on the island as restaurants, hotel, etc. Of course.
Well, Jim in Saukville has something for us. Let's go to Jim. Thank you for calling, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Jim. Good morning.
So I'm wondering where I can buy either seeds or plants.
Well, we sell small amounts ourselves, but nothing that would be a commercial for commercial use. But the best source really is lavender farms out in the state of Washington, because they have an earlier start that by the time our planting season starts, they've already got plants that are 8 weeks old or so, and they can usually ship them to you or, you know, do something. And that's usually the best source for plants. Sometimes state of Washington, Oregon, is even California, they got tons of lavender farms out there.
So if you just...
And if I may ask, give you a little advice, Jim, the seeds, they're certainly a good way of growing lavender, but you may not get the same color that you intended to be. And that is because there's a lot of cross-pollination going on in the fields, that the DNA of the plant or the seeds does not stay true to the mother plant. The best way of doing it is really cloning it, like cuttings, you know, starting with a little cutting.
Yeah.
And that's how we do it ourselves.
So you have plants, Edgar, and you then take cuttings from them, and then you, and that's
we
how
do.
You get to 10,000 per.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. We do them from cuttings, yes.
So, and you do you sell any of those at all or not?
We do, for retail, yes. There's very small amounts because we use most of the plants for our own fields.
Yeah.
So, but we do sell, you know, if you're talking 12 or, you know, 15 plants, we certainly can provide that. But if you're looking for a bigger number, that your best source will be out in the state of Washington. And a Google search will give you so many farms out there.
All right. Jim, does that help?
That helps. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, our guest today, Edgar and Martine Anderson, president and vice president, owners of Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm. It's a shop in Le Petit Bistro on Washington Island in Door County. They are going to be with us right up till 12:30 today. I hope Pat and Mazamani and Jason and Madison, they're already online to ask questions. You stay with us with your questions. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. So please do stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at growing and using lavender today with our two guests, Edgar and Martine Anderson. Edgar, president, and Martine, vice president. They own Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm, shop in Le Petit Bistro on Washington Island in Wisconsin's Door County. It's the largest lavender farm, if I'm not mistaken, in the Midwest. So, what questions do you have about lavender? Join in the conversation at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Pat in Menominee's been waiting a bit, I'm sorry, Mazamani. So let's go to Pat in Mazamani. Thanks for calling, Pat.
Thank you. I live in a zone 4 that's been reclassified as a zone 5 recently, and I have very sandy soil. And so I tried to regrow some lavender again last year, and I did Phenomenal, Hidcote, and Munstead. And in that order, I had the best success with Phenomenal. It looks like it's probably too early to tell if they're going to come back, but it looks like the Phenomenal just kind of got popped out of the ground, and I put it back in. But I was wondering both what kinds of varieties that you grow and what percent you have to replace in an average year. And then if I should just probably treat it as an annual.
All right. Edgar, do you want to start?
All right. Absolutely. I think you have a good situation there with the soil, Pat. The sandy soil is absolutely one of the factors in survival. And the reason for that is that the plant is not very strong when it comes to fungal diseases. And in fact, the kiss of death for lavender is root rot. So that alone helps you survive the winter better because the plant doesn't have the stress of the disease. As far as the temperatures, I think one thing that you can do is actually cover, if you're not talking a lot of, we do cover our plants, by the way. I mean, we cover all 20,000 plants. But you could cover that with some overwintering fabrics that they sell in any of the home and garden centers will carry any fabric And that gives you quite a bit of an advantage for the plants to come back. Now, there is a saying, though, don't pull the lavenders yet. Lavender is not dead till June. So a lot of people thinking that the plant is dead end up pulling the plant out of the ground thinking it's dead, and only to miss out that the plant will actually be coming back. It's a late starter. It doesn't get going until later in the spring. And if one way of telling if your plant is still alive is actually scratch the stem. And if you notice that the inner part of the stem is actually still green, your plant's still alive.
Excellent.
That's one thing. Yeah, one thing you can do is that. Is the other thing is we do not have phenomenal. There's a plant that is being grown everywhere in the States right now. But when we planted our plants, that was not something that was being considered as one of the varieties. One of the things that people need to keep in mind is in this part of the country, absolutely, you have to stay with English lavender varieties. That is called Lavandula angustifolia, is the Latin variety, the Latin name for that. And quite frankly, most of them will do okay if you do the right thing as far as planting it on a very well-drained soil, away from harsh winds, and, you know, maybe do a little protection for the winter. You should be okay.
There you go, Pat. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Gloria in West Allis, your turn.
Hi. Thank you. This isn't about growing, but I've heard that there are lavender festivals up there. Is there one this year? And if so, when?
I'm going to take that question. Yes. We have done a lavender festival the first 3 years of the farm, and we basically had to get away from it. And I tell you why, is that we live on an island and it's almost impossible to ferry so many people across the pond on a boat to carry a certain number of people. So the other thing too, we have realized that it's giving, the 3 days that people can come and experience the lavender, it doesn't make a lot of sense in the sense that we have bloom for practically 3 months. We create all kind of things happening at the farm during the months of August. By example, you can witness us collecting the buds and the plant being cut and then distilled in the barn. This is something will go on for a month. So we went away from the festival because of those reasons, because we had too many people on a very short time, and we could not really absorb the thousands of people who came with parking, moving them from one pet to another, because we, of course, don't own the ferry, which did their best to move all those people. But people were online for 4 and 5 hours. So we didn't think that it was the right things to do. And as I said, we have things going on for and plant in full bloom. You will see 20,000 plants starting blooming from the middle of June to the end, beginning of September. So that's why we do not do the festival as of now.
But, you know, the kind of the cool thing is that you have so much going on there, as you say, through the summer from, you know, June on. And, you have all kinds of things for people to do once they're there, no matter what that time of the season.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, it was a hard decision to make. But we find out, too, actually last year we did not have a festival and we even had more people. So, and people had time to enjoy themselves without the pressure of being ordered really from one point A to point B. So you can, you know, it's tricky when you live on an island, of course. But I think that people enjoy, have more time to stay in the field, you know, really have a more peaceful experience, if you wish, and can enjoy everything we do around the plant, you know, including the food, including the products that they can try, including the distilling in the barn. And we even had massage in the field last year, and we are working on that for this year. So it's always something going on. But, you know, the main thing of the farm is the beauty of the lavender and the experience you get on being able to walk through 20,000 plants. It's nothing compared to this.
So
that's why we decided again the festival for the moment.
And Gloria, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I think it'd make for a better experience for sure. Talk about all of the different things you mentioned. You were talking about harvesting and the things you have to do. You have shops. What kinds of things do you sell?
Well, we do quite a lot of product. I mean, actually, everything we sell is done or processed with pure lavender, which is coming from us or the state. We work with a lot of people. Women which have retired, mainly, smaller business all over the country, from Texas to California to North Carolina to Wisconsin, where we create products for, body lotion, soap. We create dishes. We work with people in Madison who do a lavender ice cream. We do work with somebody in Madison as well for lavender macarons, which are done for us. We can experience all kind of food done in. We do actually a fabulous drink, which is done with rosé and lavender syrup. And it's like a slushy, so you can sit in the lavender field and have a glass of wine that we call slushy with lavender syrup on it, which is a very big seller for us. We do something like 150 different products with the lavender we collect. So it's a very, you can pass a few hours there and enjoy from distilling to walking to the farm to have a fabulous meal, or to even just test the product we have in the store for sale.
Ah. And Edgar, talk about the distilling a little bit before we get to Connie in Antioch, Illinois. What's the distilling process and how then is the distilled product used?
Well, about 80% of our plants will go through distillation. We collect some fresh buds for culinary purposes and all that, but the majority, big majority of the plants will go through the distillation process. And Larry, is pretty much, if I were to describe this to you, is almost like moonshine distillation, except that the distills themselves are probably, would need to be adapted to the moonshine, but it is something like that effect, where boiling water sits at the bottom of a very tall column that is filled with lavender flowers. About 50, 60 pounds of that go in every batch. And then we boil the water, and the steam actually goes through the plant material, picks up the oil, the lavender oil. Essential oils have a very low boiling point, which the steam, just the temperature of the steam alone, just vaporizes that and carries it through, and then it comes down a spiral, into a condensing tank, coil. It goes to a condensing tank where there's cold water running through it, and it condenses back to a mixture of hydrosol and essential oil. And both products are actually used in our products. But what we're looking for is the essential oil, which is the actual reason why we're growing the plant. And that essential oil is so concentrated that basically we use it for product making, and we sell the oil directly to the public. One of the things to understand about essential oils, if I may, Larry, because there's a lot of confusion out in the market, and as it's any other product, you've got to buyers beware what you're buying. It all has to do with how much time are you distilling the plants for? So there are people oils that are being imported that are very little distillation, and then they mix other materials to dilute the oil, such as palm oil, olive oils that have no scent, but then they add volume, and thus they get more ferment. We distill only therapeutic grade, pure, and basically there's no additives, there's no dilution of any kind. It's just straight from the plant. And the reason we do that is because we have made ourselves, uh, um, we, our, you know, our motto and our vision is that we are a natural growing farm where we don't add pesticides or chemicals of any nature to the plants. And we produce therapeutic grade oils by distilling them the right amount of time, which is about 2 hours. That's how long you have to distill the plant in order to get all the constituents to come out from the plant to make it a therapeutic grade oil. And if you're buying oil from anywhere in the market, you know, one test that your listeners can do, put a little drop of your bottle of oil into a white sheet of paper, let it dry for 20 minutes. And if you notice that there is a waxy ring around the stain, that's the additive. That's usually palm oils or other oils that are not essential.
Very interesting. Well, now Connie in Antioch, Illinois, will go to you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I visited a lavender farm in Great Britain near the Cotswolds. And since then, I've always wanted to grow, you know, as much as possible. But I live in northern Illinois. I think I have some sand, but it's primarily a clay soil. I'd like to know what you would do to modify that.
And we're familiar with northern Illinois. We lived in Chicago for 11 years in my previous life. I was with McDonald's Corporation for many years. We know about clay. So the one thing you can do, Connie, is because clay is certainly not a well-drained soil, it will stay wet, and if you plant something in it, it'll kill the plant, especially lavender. What I suggest is that you raise the grade of that area where you're planting your plant, then slope it away from the plant, meaning let the water run off away from the root ball of the plant. And basically, you're creating a mound, and that's one solution when you have clay soil. I would not recommend that you try to amend clay, because if you add sand to clay, you're making brick.
Yes.
kind of. So in the amount of you have to add so much sand to it, almost 60% of the volume, that it just becomes impractical. The best way to do it is raise your level or your grade so that the water runs away from the plant. Lavender does not need a lot of water, so you can basically let it survive on the rain, which you get plenty of in that part of the country. Except when they're very young, you can add, you know, you can water it regularly when they're a year old, but after that, just let them be.
There you go, Connie. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, lavender is a great herb to use in cooking. For those who haven't tasted it, can you describe the flavor?
Well, that's kind of a little bit, it's a little tricky because each plant has different tests, if you wish. One thing's for sure with cooking with lavender, and I have cooked with lavender since I was a child in France, I basically use it on everything. I mix it with, you know, Herbe de Provence has a little bit of lavender in it. I actually add up to it. I put it in fish. I put it in stew. I put it in steak. I put it over all kind of dessert. The thing with lavender, however, is that you have to, when you are not familiar with it, follow the recipe you found. That's one thing. Don't try to input or put less. Just put exactly what the recipe recommends. The other thing is when you cook with lavender, the lavender should not come immediately when you bite on something or you drink on something. It is kind of an aftertaste on the back of your mouth, which is so subtle that it adds up a lot of dimension to a lot of food. And it's like everything else, you know, when you start using thyme or you start using mint or you start using any kind of condiment, you have to learn to basically balance it. As I said, lavender, if you are not familiar with it, it is a fabulous addition to your cooking, but you have to follow the recipe grading. If they tell you it's half a spoon, don't try to put one teaspoon of it. Follow the recipe. And again, it should not be a full mouth of thing coming in your mouth. It is a very subtle test. And you can try that if you can come and see me, because then we can show you how we do it.
Larry, if I may just add a little fact here that, you know, lavender is part of the mint family.
Yeah.
Same family as rosemary, thyme, basil, oregano. They're in the same family. So it's an herb, and it's edible. So that's why it's used a lot in culinary.
Mary in Oshkosh emailed to ask if you can grow lavender in containers.
Absolutely. If it's Oshkosh, the problem is she will not be able to leave the office, the container outside in the cold. She'd have to bring it in. And usually when you do that, the plant becomes an annual, because most people don't remember to water those containers indoors, thinking that the plant is, not alive or something like that. And that's why it's really not recommended indoors. But yes, you can grow it in containers, but the best use of lavender is really the ground, to put it in the ground.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, I have not asked you about your website, but I tell you, going to your website, I thought, well, I have not visited the farm yet, but I intend to visit the farm sometime this summer with my daughter, for sure, to see it, just because of the beautiful photos you have on your website. How do people, what's your website address?
It's www.fragrantisle.com. And if I can spell that, it's FRAGRANTISLE.com.
And when they get there, what are they going to find?
20,000 plants in bloom.
20,000 plants. It's an impressive sight when you get there, yes.
Oh, I'm, and then the various products. And once again, tell us about the products that you sell.
Well, you know, again, we have like around 120, 150, you know, I mean, we experiment with things, and depending of how it's received with the public, we increase it or decrease it or rework it. But we have practically 120 products coming from food item, cookies, ice cream, body lotion. We are doing this year, we are launching around 12 products new for us, which are going to be launched in the middle of May, which have some cannabis in and have been done with our lavender. And this is as healing salve. We have a cream that you can put on arthritis, which is fabulous for it. And, you know, between the cannabis and the lavender, you have the perfect combination, because you have the soothing part and the good part, where you don't have, of course, the THS. So you basically have a combination of a product which is going to cover quite a lot of, ache and pain here and there. We tried that last year, and it worked like a dream. So we are very excited about that.
Well, you are a delightful couple, I can tell you that, Edgar and Martine.
Thank
and
you.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person sometime this summer. I'll come knock on your door
Absolutely.
When I'm there.
We look forward to that, Larry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Edgar and Martine Anderson, owners of Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm. They have the shop and a bistro as well. 20,000 plants, lavender plants. And I'm going to go visit. And you might want to put that on your vacation list as well for this coming summer. Anytime from pretty much May until into the fall. Great to have them with us. Thank you for joining us. Attorney Mike Riley is back tomorrow to talk about insurance on rental cars, mediation, and arbitration. Stay with us. Lots more in store.